Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. A vast, almost innumerable host of people are looking for their kicks today. They're seeking what they consider is pleasurable, however temporary, something exciting and sensational, something that's highly charged emotionally, rousing and radical. They're looking for escape mechanisms from the pressures of life, trying to find some meaning to their existence. They're looking for the new, the exhilarating, the daring, the stimulating. They're trying fast cars and drugs and bungee jumping and sexual orgies and wild music and rioting and imitation of degenerate movies, wearing all kind of weird clothing, almost anything one can conceive of doing in order to add gusto to their life. You see, friend, it's sad but true. Life has gone sour and flat and stale and boring to many people. It's because many have had too much money and too much leisure and too little understanding of the sacredness and the purpose of life. They have no foundation that's very firm on which to build their life, and therefore the problems of life overwhelm them as a roaring high tide. For decades, people have been bombarded, of course, with the idea, and many have accepted it, that matter is the only reality, that man is the most, having things is success, and that we are but animals having no purpose, coming from nowhere, we're here by chance, we're here for nothing, there are no guidelines by which to live, no way to even determine right from wrong, even if right and wrong does exist, and we're going nowhere but to the grave. You see, they've lost and probably never possessed any true perspective of life and the dignity of the human being. People have, therefore, felt that you've got to pour something into life because you only go around once and you must get all that you can from it, and so they do weird and wild and reckless and irresponsible things to add some kind of color and depth to their otherwise drab and shallow existence. They suffer from the frustrations that are bound up within them, that is the result of a life separated from God. In recent years, there have been scores who have not turned to drugs and other sinful escapes that dominate the scene, but they seek a religious experience of some sort, some explosion from within themselves. They look for their kicks from religion. Now, this has been evident from the pew to the pulpit. They seek a religion that moves the feet and turns you on and blows your mind. Now, these are terms that we have heard that they have said among themselves. They shout and roll and lose control as if they have become possessed by some electrical spirit from out there somewhere. Well, this has often been attributed to a warm, moving experience where the Holy Spirit, as one has said, shakes you loose and leaves you limp. Friend, in religion, many are seeking and inventing the new, the untried, the fancy, the bizarre, whatever is strange, even to the lascivious, to relate to the young people and to get the fire of life. They want that which makes you feel good and makes you cry at the same time. Now, while we would agree that there is no personal value in what can be called a hand-me-down religion, there's no value in a borrowed faith that's impersonal and meaningless. And many have this kind of religion because they've neither learned what they believe nor why they believe it. We would condemn the use of religion as a substitute, as another source for kicks. This is certainly to miss true New Testament Christianity. Getting kicks does not solve problems and it does not save souls. As much as anything else, it only complicates matters, deceiving and deluding people into thinking they have something when all they have is the passing wind of fad and foolishness. The wild religion of kicks gets so much attention today. A truly pious Christian who goes about life serving God, attending to his duties, imitating Christ in his conduct toward others, he's seldom even recognized. but you let some young blood with hair like a savage paint a cross on the windscreen of his motorcycle, or write "Turn On With Jesus" across a dirty T-shirt, while the cameras begin to whirl and the writers run to their typewriters providing notoriety and presenting such as that as the benefits of Christianity. Oh, the distortions and the misrepresentations of the faith of Christ, they're blazed in neon lights. They're pictured in fashion of white buck shoes, half-nude bodies, even rock and roll music, drug smoke, leather jackets. Friend, I know this is profitable box office. It sells books and magazines and movies because it's sensational. And it attracts the biblically ignorant. It thrills people who are seeking something and who are willing to accept almost anything that relieves their dullness and their doldrums and their boredom, turns on their emotions. But such is the appeal of the so-called bumper sticker of some years ago, "Honk if you love Jesus." It explains the popularity of that so-called opera, "Jesus Christ Superstar," a blasphemous event if there ever was one. All of this creates a new kind of so-called Christianity that kicks and swings and rocks and wows. It reflects the idea that the Holy Spirit zaps people into this kind of conduct. That such has no resemblance whatever to New Testament Christianity and to the truth is of no consequence to many people. Now, some of these extremes are not generally practiced, but this mania for theatrical religion has its traces among some brethren who will cater to the will of baby boomers who want their religion to provide fun and excitement. It conforms to the Jesus freaks and the holy rollers and similar tribes. And this circus type of promotion of religion and the character of showmanship and entertainment, it's all artificially created. It consists of environments designed to arouse and exploit even those who may have a zeal, but who are without knowledge. I say to you that Jesus was very impatient with people who wanted a kicky religion. Consider Luke 11 in verse 19. "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet.'" Now here were the big crowds. They were wanting the spectacular, the sensational, the dramatic. Oh yes, he had healed some, he had fed the hungry, and other such things, and he had taught them. Now they had come to see more such signs. They wanted to be fed. They sought excitement. They wanted to get their kicks. He looked upon them with pity and rejection. Jesus' attitude is also revealed in the record of Luke 16 about the rich man and Lazarus. You remember how the rich man said, "Then said he, 'I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' But Abraham told him, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And the rich man continued to plead, didn't he? 'Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent.' Well, Abraham answered, 'If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead.'" You see, the rich man wanted his brothers to have something special, something different, something new. Do you see the lesson? Jesus rejects a faith that must constantly have special kicks and signs, bypassing the word that calls for the conversion of the heart. Some wish to replace the word with some kind of super-duper episode and scenes of sensationalism. And the people who want something spectacular, some highly emotional experience that they think can be traced to the Almighty, they're in the same class as Herod in Luke 23 and verse 8. Scripture says, "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracles done by him." Well, you recall when Jesus refused to do them, they mocked him. Friend, this so-called opera, Jesus Christ Superstar, that caught the kick idea, and it had Herod to say, Prove to me you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. And to think that some brethren cannot even see fault in such things as this show is a sad commentary on their low spirituality. But some still make similar demands of Jesus today. While Jesus rejected people who followed him who were simply looking for the sensational and uncommon, people are still that way today. I say to you, friend, if you're looking for signs and wonders and similar such things regarding the identity of Jesus and his way, your search is over when you open your Bible. You will find more than enough evidence to create faith and prove the truth about him. But if you seek more, as some young people were once advised on the campus of Abilene College by their speaker, how about a good old-fashioned sign? And his suggestion was greeted with applause. If that's what you seek, you're going to be disappointed. In the Bible, you see the creation of the universe and all therein. You read of the destruction of evil at the time of the flood. You find the mighty miracles of the prophets of the Old Testament. Moses did them, as did Elijah and Jonah and others. You read about the miraculous birth of Jesus by the Virgin Mary, as well as his resurrection. You see the sign of the prophet Jonah, Matthew 12 and verse 40, that confirms his identity as the Son of God, Romans 1 and verse 4. You will know of the confirmation of the gospel by the things done by the apostles and others to whom miraculous powers were given, Mark 16 and 20, Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. You want signs? Well, God has given them, and he tells you about them in his word, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. But if you want kicks and drama and sensationalism and emotionalism and fun and excitement and a supercharged thrill that turns you on, you'll not find that in Christ and his faith. His religion does not provide such things. That comes from another and an opposite source. And all of this "let's get excited" approach only proves that some confuse excitement for genuine zeal and reflects their lack of comprehension of the gospel. He's not going to turn your water into wine or perform some miraculous feat. He's already done that and proved his will. Jesus warns you that you are moving toward the day of judgment, and he says, "Repent or perish." He tells all of us to come to him for salvation or be lost forever. Dear friend, if you will believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and follow him in life, he'll forgive your sins. He'll make you a new creature. He'll grant you fellowship and oneness with deity. He will give you light through his word for the journey of life that leads into the eternal city where the redeemed rejoice. But those who refuse to believe and obey on the testimony of the inspired word, who keep wanting a religion of kicks and thrills and excitement and theatrical emotionalism, who thereby show a disregard and contempt for the divinely given record about Christ, they're not going to be satisfied with what they learn from Scripture, nor shall they receive what they pursue. His way is one of joy, but it's also one of discipline. It's also one of self-control. He does not encourage people to shake loose and let go. His is the way of faith and conviction, not fun and frolic and confusion. In fact, we have no business wanting a religion with kicks. We should seek the religion of Christ and be converted to him by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, rising from the watery grave to live his way. If we will do that, we have God's own promise. Heaven will be our home. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.